Why settle for court jesters when you can have three kings? Here are your hosts, Roy, Davari, and Dan. It's the Three Kings of the Midway Podcast.
Everybody, welcome to the Three Kings of the Midway Podcast. Or Kings, depending on the vernacular. Well, damn. I'm about as depressed as I've ever been as a Chicago Bears fan.
It's ugly out here.
It's dirty in these streets. This worse than the Trestman era.
Yeah, it is.
It's close, man.
It's worse.
It's worse than the Trestman era. Because during the Trestman era, we didn't have really much to look forward to. You know, we had Cutler. You know, I mean, we realized that was what it was. We was going to have to tear down at that point. And we realized the players that we had have gotten older. We realized Brian Urlacher was at the end of his rope. You know, stuff like that.
In the Trestman era, we had Jay. We had Martellus Bennett. We had Alshon Jeffrey. We had Matt Forte catching 100 passes. We had Brandon Marshall.
But our defense was cooked. Brandon, our defense was super old at that point. We knew it.
Yeah,
it was.
I mean, when you're thinking about offense, when you think about offense and things like that, I remember there was people picking Chicago to win the division because of how talented the offense could be.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we had talent on offense. We actually had a decent offensive line too. They signed Jamon Bushrod. And all that, drafted Kyle Long at right guard. Yeah, we actually had an offense. The defense just so happened by the time we got the offense, the defense was done.
That's just the land of misfit toys, man. I told you.
Tino was out there popping triceps.
Right. But this seems to sting a little more. Again, like we said, we had a young man who we all believed in Justin Fields. He had a career day. And we still lost. A career day, and we still lost. You know, watching that game, quarters 1 through 3, he was electric. You know, he was electric. He was dynamite. He was everything you would want him to be. And then, you know, even starting the fourth quarter, you know, and then for some reason, it seemed like when Denver drove down the field and scored that touchdown, it's like everybody went into shock. And then it just went all downhill from that point on. I don't know, you know, I don't know if it's psyche. I don't know, you know, if it's – I definitely know it's play calling on both sides of the ball. Psyche. But, you know, these players that we have on this current constructed roster, it seems like for the first 4 weeks of the season, they don't know how to win. I don't know what the issue may be. I don't know what it is, but
they finding ways to lose.
Yeah, they always. It's like they find a way to lose. We've become the Detroit Lions, literally. Always find a way to lose. Play good quarters 1 through 3, but could never put it together. Just like the Lions used to be.
Yeah.
Just last year, this time last year, could not put it together for whatever reason.
Yeah, it just looked like we were going to win that game the first half. It was like, and then the way we, like you said, we started the second half just to make that play on that naked. The unblocked defender shook him, hit Cole Kmet, and we like, dude, this is a wrap. This dude might throw 5, 6 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Then the play calling got bland. The Broncos figured it out. We didn't adjust, right?
As always.
We ran that same naked.
And left the end unblocked. Left the edge.
It was two ends.
With a kill shot.
Yeah, it was two ends coming because Khalil Herbert missed his block too. So he was done either way.
Yeah.
He was done. And then he fumbled trying to get the ball out. And then it seemed like at that point, it was pretty much done. It was a done deal.
Yeah.
It was a done deal.
You know, but what of course, okay. We all seen what, you know, matriculated during that game. I'm a little pissed off today. Like I said, as I came in, you know, just driving, my Twitter feed is blowing up nonstop of, you know, these idiots with this Caleb Williams shit. So, you know, I'm glad I have a pod where I can address, you know, idiots, right? So not only address idiots, but address the nonsense and the fuckery that people are on in Chicago. So, you know, let me break this down to you folks. For those that are listening, right, this is no attack against any listeners or anything like that. But I want y'all to understand how fucking stupid you are if you believe that Caleb Williams is the elixir to what ails us, okay? Now, Caleb Williams is a smaller, slower, unathletic version of Justin Fields, if you want to say that those two are it, right? Okay, because what I'm seeing up and down my timeline is that people are saying, oh, him and Justin are the same player. Wrong. Oh, well, look at his numbers, Nez. According to the numbers. Okay, now, if we really want to go there, again, this is like the Allen Robinson issue that I had 2 years ago where I said, I mean, damn, if you're getting all the targets and you're only putting up 1,100 yards, barely scratching 1,000, that's a problem. Well, let's look at Caleb Williams. Do you know how his average attempts per game? 44 passing attempts. 44 passing attempts, folks. 40 fucking four, okay? That's a lot of passes. A lot of passes. Now, Justin Fields, 25 to 30 when he was at Ohio State, putting up those numbers.
Well, they were blowing people out, and he was
exactly,
like,
and a lot of the times they were blowing people out. So, you know, they put the second and third string in, as opposed to Caleb Williams playing all four quarters and his games looking like fucking basketball scores.
Yeah.
Okay. 63
and
to fucking 54.
Let's not get it twisted. Like, and then a lot of people will look at that and say, "Well, he's playing the whole game, and so what if he puts up the numbers?" But the thing is that Lincoln Riley, everybody knows it. His goal is to try to embarrass people. That's what he does. So when most coaches around the country will pull a player after 55 to, you know, 14 lead, they'll pull a guy and say, okay, let's get my freshman quarterback some time. He'll put the gas pedal down and say, nah, let's get 65, 70 if we can.
But as you can see, the reason why Caleb Williams have to throw 44 to 50 fucking times a game is because USC ain't got no goddamn defense, folks. Okay? Look at the Colorado game last weekend, 49 to 41. Okay? Not only that, but also, if you really want to know if Caleb Williams could survive or be halfway fucking decent with the personnel that we have here in Chicago, I beg
that's
you to
key.
Differ. Go to the USC versus Utah Pac-12 championship game. Okay? When the defense applied pressure on that ass, Caleb Williams was fucking up, folks. Oh, don't believe me? Go view the tape. But let's not just have that for reference. Let's also go to the USC versus Tulane tape in the bowl game, folks. Now, this is not to shit on Caleb Williams, but what I'm telling you is you have a better Caleb Williams already in Chicago. And if he can't fix what the hell is going on with us, what in your right fucking mind make you think that Caleb Williams can? The slower version of Justin Fields, the weaker arm version of Justin Fields, the smaller version of Justin Fields.
6'1", 215. That's
6'1", 215 as opposed to 6'3", 235. Are y'all smoking crack right now? There is no fucking way in hell any of y'all who saying this played the game of football. You can't.
And Justin run a 4.41.
I'm not believing
and
that
he
you
can
play.
Run a 4.3, people.
Yeah, he can
exactly.
run a 4.3.
You know, but there's no way that you can sit here and tell me out of your right cognitive fucking mind that Caleb Williams is more athletic, better, or anything than just he can't hold Justin's left nut. Okay? I'm dead ass on this. So those that are in the know Justin Fields is that dude. Terry Bradshaw out of his own fucking mouth wouldn't tell you that this kid is super fucking talented and the coaches is the problem. Okay? NFL players wouldn't be telling you that Justin Fields is super fucking talented. All right?
Yeah.
So for all this stupid ass talk of, oh, they should trade and they're going to trade, and you know what the rest of the, well, you know what the teams that really need a quarterback are saying? Go right ahead, you dumb motherfuckers. Do it.
But that's what we do. That's what we do in Chicago. Dude.
Because if you trade him away, I guarantee you right now, as I'm speaking at 8:20 p.m. on October fucking 4th, you trade Justin Fields away in the offseason, you will be fired. You think you extending the clock, motherfucker? No, you actually expediting the clock. Because when he gets with his new team and balls the fuck out, guess what happens to you? Oh, you the GM that traded away Justin Fields. What a dumbass. You know what happened to the general manager that traded away John Elway from fucking Indianapolis? You know what happened to him? He never worked in the NFL again.
See, this is the thing, though, Nez. Like, I get what you're saying, but unfortunately, it's just not the way the NFL works. It's not the way the NFL works. It doesn't make sense to do what you're saying, do, but in NFL terms, it does make sense, right? And the reason I say that is because you reset the clock on your quarterback, right? You ain't got to pay him money. So let's throw that out there, right? You don't have to worry about trying to pick up a fifth-year option. Then there's this thought that's out there too. If Chicago re-ups with, let's say they draft a wide receiver and a defensive end, which is what I want them to do in the draft, right? The boy from Florida State, the DN from Florida State, yeah, and Marvin Harrison Jr. That's what I want. So let's say they do that. Now, two drafts, you've let quarterbacks leave and you've put your faith in Justin Fields off of the three years that he's been here. Now, before we say anything, think about this. If it doesn't pan out, then what have you done? And that's what GMs, that's what coaches are looking at in the Bears front office. And not only that, but Justin Fields, let's say Eberflus gets fired. I don't think he'll get fired during the season, but he gets fired at the end of the season. Now you got another coordinator coming in. You got another regime coming in. Do you want to put all your eggs in that basket, or do you want to get a coach, get a quarterback, and bring them in together? That's what everybody's looking at. So that's what will happen in the NFL. And do I agree with it? No, because I wanted Justin Fields. I wanted him to be good for Chicago for 15, 20 years possibly. You know, and I think he was that type of player. But at the end of the day, if the season doesn't go well, if his numbers don't drastically improve, that's what's going to happen. They're going to draft Caleb Williams. It's going to happen. I'm just being honest.
Yeah, I got my take on it is this. Like, I hear what both of y'all saying. My thing with Bears fans, bro, it's 13 games left. Yeah, we 0-4. I don't think this team is going to make the play. I didn't think this team was going to make the playoffs before the season began. So right. I'll say that. I felt that they should improve, but I didn't think they were going to be a legit team. And I said this on Twitter. I said this on the thing. I said this on the podcast. Yeah, they should have won the last game, and they probably should have been 2-2 instead of 0-4. But it is what it is, bro. Teams start off 1-4 all the time. I never thought they would have made playoffs. So if they win six games over the next 13 games, right, they improved. But yeah, Justin Fields has the next 13 games to prove that he's that dude. If he goes out and start playing like he played yesterday, because we saw this last year. He caught on, he caught fired, and he was going. He went 10 weeks playing balls out. So let's say Justin Fields balls out for the last 13 weeks, and the Bears don't have the number one draft pick. You know, they got the number three pick. Maybe they got the number three pick and the number four pick. So Caleb Williams ain't even, like, people are like, everybody's too far ahead in the game, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody's too far ahead. They're going to figure something out, and then they're gonna win a game. They're not going to go 1-16. I don't think they're going to go 1-16. Bad as Eberflus is, I don't think they're going to win. I think they might even win a more game. Maybe they win five games. Maybe the Carolina Panthers, you know, end up winning a couple games, and they have the number two pick. I'm just saying. We got to get through a season, but yeah, I get it. If they fire the whole coaching staff, especially if they end up firing Poles, then yeah, you got a whole new regime. The regime's going to come in, and they're going with their guy, even if they think Justin is a guy. Hell, they might even keep Justin as a bridge. Like, why they didn't get rid of him? If you're really a good organization, you don't want to just take the rookie and throw him out to the wolves. You're going to be like, no, right. Justin, you go play out your rookie deal, Yeah. You don't have this guy sitting on the bench
and become a free agent.
Yeah, you just become a free agent and get a comp pick. Or you can trade him.
You got him for year four. Yeah, you got him for year four. They just won't pick up the option for the fifth.
Yeah, just won't pick up the option. We see this all the time where they keep the quarterback before they draft another one. They be like, oh, it's not a competition. And then they get rid of him. But so I can see it both ways. But yeah, if a new regime does come here, I can see them moving on. But also, Justin, it's up to him for the last 13 games to make it to the point where
if he plays out of his mind, there's no denying that he's that dude. And at that point, you have to go with him, right? But here's the caveat, though. Here's the question that pops up then. If he plays, let's say he turns around and plays awesome, right? And he has the next 13 games and he puts up crazy numbers and he does well, right? Say they win six of seven games of the next 13, right? They win six and they lose, you know, the rest of them. Then you got to ask yourself, does he save anybody's job at that point?
No. You don't think so? Regardless.
Yeah, I think
so. So now you got a situation where, and that's another thing that I don't want to happen. I don't want another coach to come in here. You can't go through coaches and coordinators and coaches and coordinators and coaches and coordinators over and over and over without it affecting the kid at some point in time. You see what I'm saying?
It's dysfunctional.
It's bad, man. The Bears...
It's like bringing a bunch of step, just you got three marriages around your kids. Your kids just got all kind of strange people coming in and out the house. They're like, what the hell's going
men
on?
Coming in and out,
it's like my mama.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's a fact. But, you know, my thing is that, you know, it's kind of like a double-edged sword. You know, because if you do decide, you better know what you're doing. Because if you decide to move on from Justin Fields, I'm telling you, you move on from Justin Fields, you go somewhere else and ball the fuck out. You just fired yourself immediately.
He's gonna be here for one more year, probably.
Absolutely. You know, that's why I told folks, he's not going anywhere.
What if he balls out and they trade him though? That's also a possibility too.
I don't see that happening. Because you're not gonna trade what you know for what you don't know. We don't know what Caleb Williams is at this level. And again, what USC quarterbacks panned out, bro?
I mean, but we haven't seen quarterbacks get traded. Baker Mayfield got traded, and true enough, he was terrible. He bombed out, and
well, you know, he played with the Browns too. You know, so
I'm just saying that we've seen it happen though.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? But what I'm saying is Caleb Williams is he has the USC on him, bro. Anybody that's halfway decent is gonna get love, right? Is gonna get that love, is gonna get that shine because it's just like a Notre Dame quarterback.
That dude can ball though, bro.
I'm not saying he can't. Yeah. He's good. I'm not saying he can't, but what I'm saying is that yes, he can ball. But is he better than Justin? I don't think so. I don't see it.
No, I don't. I mean, I don't see the talent being better. No. And you can't compare a guy that's in college
to a guy that's in the pros.
To a guy that's in the pros.
Like, yeah, because Justin was lighting shit up in college.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm just looking at from Justin's Ohio State tape. He not better than him.
From if you compare those two, yeah. But I was saying like Peyton Manning, right? I listened to the – I watched the game yesterday. Not yesterday, but Monday. And they did the Manning cast or whatever. And when he was talking, he said, look, I threw 28 interceptions as a rookie.
Yeah,
he did. Said, I remember calling my dad and saying, ain't nobody open. They're not open. And he said he just kept throwing the ball. But he had somebody that was willing to live with him through those failures in order to get to the promised land.
Yeah, it was that old fat motherfucker with the white hair. That was the genius that unlocked Peyton Manning. The old fat guy with the white hair, the offensive coordinator / quarterbacks coach. I can't think of his name. He used to always be over there with glasses sitting on his nose.
I don't give nobody no credit for Peyton. I think Peyton was just, I think he was dope. I think he was just nasty. Like, he was just that dude.
Yeah, he just worked through his lungs. But that's the NFL now, bro, with quarterbacks. Nobody has patience. No one just, everybody just go, oh, he sucks and get a new one. Especially Chicago, bro. Like, that's
somebody
why we
who's
never
had a damn quarterback.
Can you imagine if Justin threw 28 picks, bro? What would people in Chicago? What would Chicago fans?
They would have ran him out of town. Year one.
Yeah.
28.
Peyton, I don't even think he has that many picks in his whole career. You know, that man threw more picks than Justin Fields throwing his whole career so far. Year three. And I mean, everybody just wanted, you know, like, I don't get it, bro. Like, we watched what he was doing yesterday. Like, right. In the first three quarters, we were like, this dude's legit. Yes. I know it's Broncos, but I didn't get a chance to watch QB schools. This breakdown was like 2 hours. But I watched Jenkins. And he was, right. And I mean, some of the throws he was making, bro, like, he had unblocked defenders and he, like, throwing his sidearm around people in tight windows and,
yeah. You
know, threatening the line of scrimmage and hitting guys. I mean, it was like, you looking at the, you watch this tape, you're like, that's a superstar. He's the best player on the field.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And if you just say, man, and I made a tweet yesterday, I was like, bro, if you actually had the offensive San Francisco 49ers team, like around Justin Fields, you would be a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah.
If you had, you know what I mean? If you had CMC, you had Debo, you had, you know, Trent Williams blocking, Kettle, are you like with that defense? Bro, we would be like going 14-4. So like, and that's when I know people don't know ball, because that's what I do. I like take the quarterback and say, if you put that quarterback, this same quarterback, and put that team around him, how would your team be? And no one can look at me in a straight face and say that I'm lying. They know damn well if you took Justin, put him in San Francisco, or you took that San Francisco team and surrounded Justin Fields with that, you would be in the Super Bowl. You would be a dynasty. So how about, in my theory is, how about you build the damn team, bro? How about you build the trenches up? You build the offensive line, you build the defensive line, you get another weapon, and then you roll with it. But people just want the new shiny object. Bear fans are addicted to rebuilds. All they want to do is rebuild. They want to get rid of the QB, fire the coach, fire the GM every 2 to 3 years. And this is just a cycle. It's a dysfunctional ass cycle. Good organizations don't do that. Now, I believe
fire everybody. That's all you
I believe
see
Eberflus should be fired.
Fire everybody.
Fire.
Burn the whole organization.
Burn every time. Like, I don't think Poles should be fired, because Poles actually got decent talent and assets, but you also pick the players that your coach want. The coach said, well, my team sucks. I need to get, they went out and drafted defensive linemen, cornerbacks,
linebackers,
safeties, linebackers, and your defense,
and the defense
still sucks.
It's worse than what it was last
worse.
Year.
Worse. You're worse. A defensive
How is that
coach.
Possible?
You're a defensive coach. How are you a defensive coach and your defense sucks? You're the worst defense in the NFL.
You know what was the red flag to me about Eberflus? Was the year that he was, his last year he was coaching the Indianapolis Colts. And they had to defeat the lowly Jaguars, who had the number one pick in the draft coming up that year, to go to the playoffs. And defense laid a fucking egg. Their defense laid an egg. And you know what that reminded me of? Matt Patricia, when he was the defensive coordinator of the New England Patriots and was becoming the head coach of the Detroit Lions. And I told my buddy right then and there, I said, bro, y'all, that Patriots defense couldn't stop a damn nosebleed. And that's what y'all chose as y'all head coach. And then deja vu, it happened to us right after. Wow. But Eberflus has to go. I'm being honest.
I think the Bears defensive problems are solely, it's strictly on the edge rushers being able to get after the quarterback. You know, you did draft some defensive linemen, but they were, you know, tackles. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Tackles on
Dexter and Pickens, those are tackles. So you drafted tackles and I'm cool with that. But I think their sole problem on defense, the biggest culprit of the defense, and look, it goes hand in hand with everything. If your front can't get pressure, you don't blitz that well, your linebackers are gonna get washed down the field. Your secondary is not gonna be able to cover that long. You know what I mean? So it's all you know, working together, right? So that's the issue on the defense. How do you fix that without having the players that can get after the quarterback? You know what I mean? You got Yannick Ngakoue, but if they focus on him and try to take him away, you got nobody else, man. DeMarcus Walker, I don't know what he's been doing this year.
He should be a three.
My man Robinson, he ain't, you know.
He done nothing since week one of San Francisco.
You got talent and you got athleticism, but you got to do something more than just have talent and athleticism at this point. So, you know, that's the culprit on the defensive side of the ball. You know, I don't know, man. Whatever. It is what it is.
But you respect
him. I think Eberflus's problem, more so than anything, is his decision making on the football field, you know, from the coaching standpoint. Your decision making is horrible, bro.
His decision making at the podium is horrible too. Lying and shit. I don't know.
Like, Claypool. Oh yeah.
Like, god damn, dude. Come on, man.
Yeah, we did tell him to stay home. Yeah. No, we did.
What was the question they asked him today? Do you you feel like you got the support of the general manager and the president? Yeah, I have their support. But I haven't talked to him yet, though, bro. I haven't talked to him yet, but I feel it.
What can you answer to that, though? How do you answer that, though?
I'd be like, shit, I don't know. Fuck. Shit. I don't fucking know.
I hope I do.
Nobody do. Shit. I don't know if I'm here after this week.
What's that Kodak Black? Kodak Black mean? I hope so.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Like, shit, at this point, it's like they asked me, you feel you got the support? Can you feel? Like, what the fuck does he know what he feels? Obviously, he feel hell no, I don't. Shit, because they ain't said shit to me.
You know he got that support, and he got to get that correct answer.
You say that, everybody know you on your way out the door.
Oh, yeah.
I believe he knows. I believe he knows. Y'all trust and believe. When they had that coach
he can't say, yeah, my days are numbered.
Right. But I'm pretty sure they had that coach just be going there like,
yep. Now you got to worry about, you know.
Put your shit on the market.
You still got to go and try to get another job somewhere else.
Oh, yeah.
He updating that resume as we speak.
Right. You know what I'm saying? He's sitting there on Zillow right now looking at the market value of his crib and shit like, yep. Put that motherfucker on the market. Let's see what we get.
He got his estimate. He up there looking at his estimate.
Got the resume on Indeed. Networking,
calling Missouri. Y'all need a defensive coordinator.
Right.
His wife down there house hunting.
Trust me.
We already got you the job, Matt. The job's already lined up. When to fire, you'd be hired tomorrow.
Right. They shitting boxes as we speak. They sleep on the air mattress as we speak.
Hey, I got a question, right? What do y'all think about what Getsy said about Justin Fields?
Yeah. That's Matt Nagyism, bro. It's Nagyism.
So the situation was, on the one play where Herbert caught the touchdown pass, Justin was about 10 yards behind the line of scrimmage when he threw the ball. After he, you know, ducked and, you know,
athletic-wise,
and extended the play and threw a nice touchdown pass. On the other one, they said he didn't get depth
on the fucking naked boot.
He didn't move back far enough.
Oh my god!
So he was only 7 yards instead of 10. Do you think 3 yards would have made a difference?
No, because he had a dead fucking sprint to Justin's face. Okay, like that's the shit that like.
And the other dude, Justin was able to work, and he moved. He faked him. The guy went for the fake, and then Justin was able to scoot back a little bit, scoot to the side, and then throw the ball. This dude just came right in there and he was like, no, I'm going,
kill
I'm
shot.
Taking your head if I can, yeah.
Well, because they adjusted. He did that play earlier and they ran that same dumbass play. And so the dude kind of like hesitated. He was squeezing, mm-hmm. right? And so this time he was like, I'm fucking going balls out. I'm selling
exactly.
out. And he sold out and he turned around and was like, oh shit. And he tried to throw it and it was, I get it, man. Like, I don't know, man. Like, I'm tired of Getsy. Like, he just can't adjust. Like, you should have known from that previous play that they were going to probably adjust. Like, he almost got God on that play, and you got away with it. Mm-hmm. So now you adjust.
So that brings me to, like you said, he almost got God on that touchdown throw, but he got away with it. But he bailed. That's called bailing your coordinator, right?
Yeah.
I heard Brady Quinn say, you got plays. You'll have 7 plays probably during the course of a game where the play caller has made the wrong call and it's not going to work and you got to do something to bail him out or else not turn this ball over. And that's what Justin Fields was able to do on that play.
Yeah.
On this play, the same situation. He couldn't bail him out though. So now you're what you're telling me, and when you're at the podium and you say this is what he should have did, he should have got depth on his, you know, got 10 yards back instead of 7. And I'm thinking to myself, so now we're saying that we're totally dependent on this dude ad-libbing and extending plays. You're calling plays hoping that he can extend the play. Instead, is that really putting your guys in the position to win, to be successful?
That's guessing. And the answer is trying to save face and going to the podium and trying to throw Justin on the bus. It's a lot of
experience.
Yeah, you know, that's him trying to get some get back from the previous week where, you know, Justin cut into his ass and was like, yo, it's the coaching. So, you know, that was some Matt Nagy shit, and it just came off as just, oh, I want to sock Getsy in the face. I'm dead serious, bro. Like, oh, I could just sock you in the face right now. Just take accountability, bro. Like, no accountability whatsoever for your shit play calling. That's what it is. Man, it's like he's tone deaf on...
You gotta look and say, okay, the kid that was blitzing in, he didn't go for no fake from Justin. He went, I'm going straight at him. I'm not hesitating. I'm not doing nothing. And that's what killed the play. So you can give credit and say, look, if Getsy came to the podium and said, you know what, that kid made a good play out there on Justin on that play. He blitzed. He showed his hand and he came right for him. You know what I mean? I would have more respect for that. To me, it looks like finger pointing to me.
Yeah, exactly.
When you get up there.
Scapegoat. So, you know, yeah. Same reason they picked a great week to deactivate Chase Claypool. Because what happened after the fact that Chase Claypool, you know, regardless of the fact of y'all motherfuckers should be fired, we're not talking about that. We talking about Chase. You know what I'm saying? Which they chose a good. He's not coming back. He's not coming back. This is the third. It's scapegoating, man. Really, it took everybody in Chicago's attention away from the fact of y'all should be fired. And why aren't y'all fired? Because Mike Wilbon, Cap, everybody was calling. Even Lance Briggs, everybody was saying this coach staff need to be fired. They need to go.
They gotta go.
Everybody was saying that they need to go, you know. So from that point on, it went from, oh, okay, well, let's take the heat off of us. Chase Claypool's no longer as loud on the facility. We told him to stay home. He's not going to come back. Yeah, let's talk about that. My job's not in jeopardy. No. We're not going to talk about that. But that's the reality of the situation.
If you wanted to trade him, you just made it that much harder to trade him.
Yeah. You know, I think at the end of the day, they're going to end up releasing him anyhow. Ain't nobody going to trade for him.
Somebody would have traded for him. Somebody would have gave up a fifth or a sixth for that guy. Somebody would have gave it up.
Yeah, but once you let the world know that he ain't coming back with the team.
That's what I'm saying. You've made it that much harder now. So it's kind of stupid to do that. You shot yourself in the foot. You know?
Well, we ain't talking about the smartest here. These are the Keystone Cops we got as coaches, so... You know how that goes.
I don't know, man. That's crazy.
You know how that goes. So, hey, we got the Washington Commanders coming up tomorrow, fellas. I said in typical Bears fashion, you know, we feel that if they go out and, you know, what I'm hoping for, and I'm not even going to lie, man, I'm just going to be dead serious on this, right? I hope Justin goes out, has another magnificent performance.
Hey, did y'all want to, before we go to that, did y'all want to talk about that, whatchamacallit? The interception and the call for the play call to go for it instead of kicking the field goal.
I'm cool with it. Justin, on that 4th-and-1 call, you don't take the ball out of Justin Fields' hands. Again, this is a 6'3", 235-pound kid. And you going shotgun, number one. I don't understand why it's so hard for them to do the push that Philly does. I don't understand why it's so hard for them to do that. But for some reason, you know, again, the great Getsy and all of his mystique and dumbest guy in the room play calls, you know, the smart dummy.
They got the personnel to do it.
Right. I don't understand why they... I don't understand that. You going shotgun and you hand it off with a draw up the middle. Whatever.
You line up. You got Justin under center. You put Cole Kmet there. You put Mercedes Lewis right there, and you put Roschon Johnson in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And you hike the ball, and all three of them dudes run up and push Justin in the back.
Exactly.
You go forward. It's easy. It's simple.
That's all you need. So I'm not understanding why they don't do that to get a yard or whatever. It just seemed like that's the hardest thing for them to do. But that was asinine. On the play with Cole Kmet. Cole just messed up, man. That's all it is, you know. It was man coverage, you know, and if Cole just would have turned around the right way instead of going outside shoulder, it would have hit him. You know what I'm saying? He was right in stride, but hey, it's all good. Whatever. Those mistakes are going to happen, especially with a young QB, you know what I'm saying? Young tandem, whatever, whatnot. It could be worse. Hell, it could be Zach Wilson, you know what I'm saying, out there.
But the thing I didn't like about that, though, is that people now all of a sudden, I don't even like, it's crazy, like all these people that don't like Justin Fields has come out the woodworks. It was like,
loving it.
Their you know what time. It is. They was quiet the whole game. He was dicing these dudes up, doing all these plays, making all. Nobody said nothing. As soon as he threw that pick, and I already knew, because they don't wait to the All-22. They got to get their hot takes out right now. And I was like, yeah. JT O'Sullivan, Chase Daniel, Jenkins, they all going to break this stuff down. And I was like, I can tell, like, I'm pretty sure there was a miscommunication, right? Because he threw that ball with anticipation. He was throwing that ball before Kmet was out of his break.
Exactly.
Kmet was like shocked the ball was even there, even though he was the number one wide receiver on that call. He was like, oh shit, he threw the ball? And Cole Kmet had a good game. So it's like, that sucked. But it happens. And it was like, I knew right then, I was like, you're just going to get a hater's ammunition. And that's probably what I hated the most about it. I don't even understand why people root against their team, bro. It's weird to me.
It's strange.
Like, and people pull up old tweets like, you said this guy, you thought this guy was going to be good. Yeah, I said it about every player. I'm a Bear fan, bro.
Right.
I'm not no objective analyst. I'm a Chicago Bear fan, bro. What do you expect me to say? Anybody they draft, I'm like, hey, he could be good. He might not be, but he could be. I hope he is. I'm a fan. I
hope he turns out good, right?
Yeah, I hope he, like, I'm not going to root against. I ain't want that guy, so I'm going to root against him because I'm going to play internet GM. I'm going to play internet GM. Bro, you ain't no GM. You can't even generally manage your own household. You act like you're going to run an NFL team.
Right.
You know?
It is what
GE
it is,
classes,
you know?
Bro, but you come up here.
Can't run your own household. Kids running wild. Wife telling you off.
You up here acting you going to run the Chicago Bears. You know? I'm like, I'm a fan, bro. Like, what do you expect me to say?
That's a fact.
Yeah, you know? I agree, man. I was like, when it happened, and I was like, dang. Because I knew they was going to come out the woodwork, too.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like, man, we didn't need it. I think it was the right play. I think it was the right read, too. Because, you know, and a lot of people say, well, he should have threw to the guy at the bottom. He should have. At the end of the day, when a blitz comes and the guy who was actually lined up against Cole.
You throw to the blitz.
Yes.
Throw at the blitz. That's what they teach you. Throw at the blitz. So he read it right. The guy came. Cole was open and he threw the ball earlier. And what Cole needs to understand in that situation is if I'm lined up as Cole and I take off, my man blitzes in.
You
okay,
gotta
now
be the hot
I'm
read.
Open. I'm open. I'm the hot read, right? So you gotta be get your head around and turn around on the swivel, get to the point. He ran 5 yards beyond the sticks. All you had to do was run to the sticks and turn around. That safety was coming up.
Mm-hmm.
So you made that safety that the guy who was taking over for the guy who blitzed. You made his job a little bit easier by going extra far.
Mm-hmm. You ran to
sticks, catching the ball at the sticks, then it would have been okay. It would have been fine. But you overran the route a little bit, and then he wanted to continue running the route as the route was. It was a fake inside, sell the you know, whatever, the dig route, and then kind of fade out or float out to the left side. Mm-hmm. And that's what Cole was going to do. And it's like, that's not what you should do on a hot read. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's just communication. That's one of the things that Brandon Marshall and Jay Cutler, they was known for having the same eye on the field. You know what I mean? That's what they said. That's when you are in sync with your receivers or quarterback or whatever, vice versa. So they need to work on that, man. But Cole had a good game. I hate it happened to him, and I hate it happened to Justin because they both balled out.
In reality, the game shouldn't even been in that situation.
It shouldn't have. It shouldn't have. Because, I mean, if we really keeping it a buck, who was the high hand at the time in the second half when it was going down to score that last touchdown that they had to put them up 28-7? Khalil Herbert was the high hand.
Yeah.
You keep feeding the horse. Yeah. You keep feeding the horse. You keep grinding them into submission with that offensive line. You let them maul. Why would you stop that to start throwing the ball again? Why? And then after that, that's when they start going 3-and-out. Like, come on, bro. What is you doing? It's like, I don't know what the hell he's doing out there. But Khalil Herbert, you see Khalil Herbert, after he got up, he kept doing this. Keep feeding me. Keep feeding me. Keep feeding me. Because at this point, they can't stop me. At that one point, he had a rush where he had three dudes hanging off of him, and he's still running, still churning his legs and getting an additional 3 to 4 or 5 yards. You keep feeding that because that gets the crowd going. That gets the offensive line pumped up. That gets him that adrenaline that he needs to keep going. Keep feeding him then if that's the point. And then you naked boot off of that. You play action pass off of that. But you don't just come out pass, naked boot. What are you doing, Getsy?
Naked boot, man.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
And not at the crucial part of the game.
Exactly.
Too, man. And they it's like they defensive coordinators, players are smart out there, bro. These guys are not dummies.
Exactly. And they know the formation. They know the plays coming.
In the world, but on the football field, these dudes are smart. They know their terminology. Mm. They know what they're doing out there. You don't make it to the NFL on talent alone. Right. You know what I'm saying? Especially playing defense. On offense, maybe, but not on defense.
I'm a blast defense real quick. Bill Zimmerman, dude, he had posted like a real. I put it in a thread. He said in a 14 game stretch where the Bears defense allowed 25 point plus points in every game, they've allowed 33.4 points per game. 33.4 points a game they allowed in the last 14 games. If the Chiefs defense gave up 33 points in 14 straight games, the Chiefs would be 2-12. Mm. This is the Chiefs. If the Chiefs had our defense, they would be 2-12.
Yeah.
There's nothing that the offense can do. Justin can go out and throw 4 touchdowns, 335. We saw it last year. He was throwing for 3 touchdowns, rushing for 2, and they still were losing.
Mm-hmm. And that's what Bears fans and some of these people were not going to understand. They're not even going to understand that part of it. Like, your defense helps your offense so much by putting them in great positions, by getting takeaways, by doing certain things that the Bears defense, to be honest, has not been able to do for the last, 3 or 4 years? Since 2018, really. 5 years. They haven't been the same. So, you know, it's bad, man. That's just ugly to me, man. I just don't get it.
Yeah. It's like, how many straight games have we lost? 14, 15 since last 14. Season?
Yeah. He's the only 14. Bears quarterback to have this many consecutive losses. I mean,
and it's not even his fault.
Not quarterback. I'm sorry. Head coach.
Okay, head coach. He's
the only Bears head coach to have this many consecutive losses. And he should be fired.
You know, I went on that the Bear Down report. They had me on, what was it, Sunday, and they asked me the question, whose fault is it? Whose fault? I put it 100% on Matt Eberflus.
Mm-hmm.
He's calling the defense, and the defense, people forget. Yeah, you know what I mean.
It's supposed to be a defensive guru.
The drive before the last drive that offense had. Before their field goal or whatever, the last drive they had before that, they converted 3 third down attempts.
Over 10 yards.
Yeah, it was all long, third and longs. When your defense can't get off the field, that's a problem, and that's been an ongoing theme. Get off the field. Get off the field. Get to fourth down. Make them punt. At some point in time, you got to be able to do that. You can't. I've seen drives where the Bears gave up 4, 5, 6 first downs on third down conversions.
Yeah, hell, they converted fourth downs.
And most teams would have, you know, how many conversions did they have? 3. There was 3 for 8. You look at the Bears, and they got 6 conversions on one series. You know, against the Bears. So it's like they got that defense is. It's on him, and then the play calling, of course, the decision making, and like you said, they should have never been in that situation to begin with.
Yeah,
that's
for that interception
true.
To be thrown. So it's all on his shoulders.
That's very true, very true. So, fellas, we got the Commanders going in tomorrow. I want Flus and Getsy out of here. So, I'm just being honest. I want Justin Fields to do his thing. I want him to put up another performance. Like he did last Sunday. You know, 300 plus yards, you know, 3 to 4 touchdowns, no matter how you get them, you know, rushing, passing, whatever. However, I know what that defense is. I know what that defense ain't. And I know that that defense can't stop a damn nosebleed. So, Justin, my prediction for tomorrow is Justin Fields has an amazing game. However, the Bears will find a way to lose that game. And hopefully during this long week, or long, you know, during this long week until next Sunday, Flus and Getsy will be told to get to stepping. Literally. I hope so, but seeing what I saw in our thread just before I got here, I don't think that's going to be likely. So, and that just pissed me off to, like, I'm not even going to talk about it on the pod. But that, if that's true, yeah, what I saw, if that's true, they both need to go. I'm dead ass. Like, they both need to go. Seriously. Because you're not going to put the best interest of the team before your personal relationship. And if that is true, then they both need to get the hell out of here. And that's real.
This team is just run dysfunctional, man.
As hell.
I hope it ain't true, man.
I hope it ain't true.
Not true. We gotta research that, and we might have to revisit that.
Yeah.
On next week's pod, bro. Because yeah, if it's true, we got a problem.
A 2-for-1? Oh no! Nah, hell no!
We got a major problem.
Yeah.
I can see it being true though. That's why you gotta have Cameron Warren. You just gotta say. And unfortunately, Justin would be a victim of it. As much as I believe the guy, but it's almost like everything stinks so bad, you just got to clean it.
You got to clean everything. It all got to change.
We've been doing that, but this is why you hire the president before the GM. You don't hire the new GM when the old president is going out. How about you hire the president, and then you hire the GM, and he can pick what GM he want, and then the GM can pick the coach, and then the coach can pick the quarterback, like a sane organization. But they never do it. They always do it backwards. Draft the quarterback, hire the coach, hire the GM, hire the president. What the hell, dude, is this? You wonder why you suck.
Backwards.
Everybody's just going to get along together.
That's like building a roof before you build the house. You don't even have a foundation and you build the roof.
Right. You got to go lift the roof up just to
put the roof up.
Put the frame up.
Right. And then you build the foundation. After you already built the roof and the frames, and then you got the frame and the roof dangling, and then wonder why the house ain't crooked.
Stupid, man. That's this why.
I ain't gonna watch this game live, bro. I got better things to do with my time. I'll rewatch it later, dude. That's why I'm at with them. You no longer get the priority in my life no more, because I know what you're gonna do.
I'm gonna watch it because I ain't got shit else to do on a Thursday night. I gotta go to work early Friday morning, so I gotta be there at 3 a.m. But you know, I'm gonna watch it until I fall asleep and doze off, unless they give me a reason to watch. But you know, but I'm expecting, I'm pretty sure this game has a lot of implications. Okay, folks. I mean, future implications, because if Justin balls out, I'm pretty sure EB is sitting over there looking like, I could do something with that. I could do a lot of damage with that. I could do a lot of damage with that. Cause, I mean, come on, man. Look what he's doing with Sam Howell. Hey, did he come from North Carolina?
Yeah.
Trubisky 2.0. Okay. So Sam Howell. Speaking of Mitch, shout out to all the Mitch Mafia out there, because Mitch is going to get his start this Sunday for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's going to get his start, Mitch Mafia. So you know,
your boy V should be happy. He'd probably be tuned in.
V would be drunk and hungover by 1 o'clock roll around.
Drinking old style.
Yeah, Milwaukee's best. V, you know, he'll be a little sauced up by one. You know, I'm pretty sure he'll be in his drunken stupor by noon. So you know, hey, it is what it is. You know, so might need to check his damn liver. You know, he's probably out there about to give out in about another year or two here. You know, it's the bottom of the 24 pack of Bud and Milwaukee's best there. So
like,
you know,
he like Frank from Shameless.
Man,
he get a liver transplant and then messed that one up too.
Exactly. What a hard liquor, you know. So hey, it is what it is. But all the truthers out there, your man is getting a shot. Your man is getting his shot, all you truthers out there. So make sure y'all tune in and, you know, go and root for Mitch as he stinks it up. And Steelers, you know, I don't even know who the Steelers play this week, but they're probably going to lose. So, hey.
Let me in beat down.
Yeah.
Daniel Jones got beat down. That's another. That's crazy.
Yeah. So
that dude got paid so much money.
But hey,
it ain't all his fault though.
But yeah, I'll definitely be watching the Bears, man, for the time being. You know, and hopefully, you know, Justin puts on a show. But that's all we got to look forward to, is really Justin putting on a show, seeing what the offense is doing. But people don't understand. You really want to talk about getting rid of Justin Fields, but he's on pace right now for 3,800 yards passing. 3,800 yards passing. He's on pace for, you know, DJ Moore is on pace for a 12 to 1300 yard season in receiving yards. You know, but hey, you know, let's move on from a 3800 yard passer. You know who else is a 3800 yard passer though, and always has been just about his whole damn career? 3800 to about 4200 yards. He plays in Detroit. All right, Jared Goff, right? Remember how everybody wanted to run him out of the league? Now everybody's slurping, and now everybody want to slurp him dry, right? Come on, man. You know, it is what it is. It is what it is. I bet you the Rams wish they had his ass back.
They're never going to be happy, man. You know, I seen a tweet. I forgot who tweeted it, but somebody put, you know, if the Bears had drafted, I mean, because we go back and forth with this all day, every day. I see people still crying about Roquan.
Yeah.
Yes, Tony the Bodball.
Right. And to piggyback off that, if we didn't draft him, move the hell on.
Roquan, Pickens. I mean, we just hear it. I mean, look, at the end of the day, we don't have those players, and let's move on from it. You know what I mean? You have players that are doing, you know, decent as well. And let's be real. Pickens ain't setting the world on fire.
At all.
They put up, what, 6 points the other day? They got blown out by somebody?
Yeah, by Houston.
So, you know.
An Ohio State quarterback lit their ass up. Another one.
Right.
All those, he went to Ohio State. I don't expect much.
See, that's what happens when the team is
Nick
bad.
Morrow. Somebody said Nick Morrow is now the second ranked.
Sam,
he ain't the second linebacker in the league. Get the...
Man, they be pulling these stats out their ass, man. They even talk about former stats. Bears.
PFF, man. PFF.
I like it for data tracking, but their grades, I give their grades no.
Trash.
I usually make sure when I post anything they post, it ain't a grade. Y'all can quote me on that. I try to stay away from that grade. You know, how many sacks a person gave up, how many sacks a person got. Like, I kind of trust that, but not their grades.
Somebody was talking about Mustafa, and it's like, hold up. Leno, PFF ranked Leno high at one point.
Yeah.
Musty nuts.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. I'm like, what are y'all watching? And I'm like watching the same games. He got pushed into the quarterback kneecaps towards MCL, ACL, PCL, CCL. And I'm like, what are y'all grading, bro? Well, he didn't give up a sack. Well, because he freaking limped away, bro. Like, what the hell?
Hey. I'm going to tell you now, fellas, for those, you know, just to going into next year, we will, if we have the opportunity, we will take Marvin Harrison Jr. I don't think Claypool has already did away with himself. In all honesty, Mooney is going to have to come back at a very, very, very friendly price. If not, he's going to be on the outs.
Yeah.
Tyler Scott can do the same thing he can do. I'm just keeping it a buck, folks. That's why they drafted him, really. But, you know, and it's a possibility that, you know, Marvin Harrison Jr. comes into Chicago and he starts out as the number two, but he will indubitably be the number one. Sorry.
Absolutely.
That's just what it is.
He's cold like that. He's that type of player.
He's cold. If you're being honest, bro, what they should do is they should draft Marvin Harrison and the edge rusher. That's what they should do. And
yeah.
Then they should spend
that's what money. I want. That's what
they
I said.
Spend, and then just go balls out on the interior of the offensive line.
Just spend heavy money.
Spend heavy money.
Yeah, spend. Yeah, interior of the O-line. Just
let's not trip either, though. Like you can still get a center in the second round, bro.
Yeah.
Like, they still got 2 seconds. What was it, 2 seconds or 2/3? One of the two. They got either 2 seconds or 2/3 next year, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, either way, you're going to have 5 picks in the first 3 rounds.
Yeah, you got those two first. They're going to be probably in the top 5. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you can actually build the team, but that would actually take, like, smart roster building. But you got
it would take patience too.
Yeah,
it would take patience. Number one, it would take patience, and number two, if it's going to take patience, that means the locker room got to come together. They got to win some games because winning cures it, right?
Yeah.
But I ain't gonna lie, the locker room to me is fractured, bro. It's not.
Yeah.
You know, the players ain't happy going out there.
They don't trust that coaching staff, bro.
I don't trust the coaching staff, so it's fractured. So you know, it is what it is. We can act like it's not all we want to, but I know, Devorah, you know, you've been in locker rooms. You know when players ain't feeling it.
They're not feeling that coaching staff at all.
They mannerisms. You can look at how they answer media questions. They're not feeling it.
Yeah.
They're not feeling it.
And that's a fact. That's an absolute fact. You know, I see we got Eddie Jackson. He's out again.
Jalen Johnson's
out again. You know, Jalen Johnson Brisker's wants to get out. Paid.
Brisker's out.
Yeah.
Sam Howell about to drop 400 yards on
the usual suspects. I'm going to start calling them three the usual suspects because they always hurt. All three of them. Like, all right.
Gotta stay healthy, bro. Gotta
like,
stay
all right.
Healthy.
All right. I'll be like, all right. You know, hey, shit. Hey, I package y'all asses up. All three of you. Alright, shit. If I'ma lose, goddammit, I'ma lose with motherfuckers who actually trying. I'm not finna lose with no over oh, you know, I'm not finna lose with motherfuckers. Come on now. You looking for a contract, Johnson. Jalen.
I know.
You looking for a contract, baby. You can't get it in the training room.
No.
You know, Eddie Jackson, ever since you done got paid, you know, I mean, baby. It ain't looking good. You know what I'm saying? And I mean, these are tough things that you got to look at. Like, it ain't looking good. I mean, damn, I want to keep you, but.
You know what else ain't looking good?
What's that?
3-18 ain't looking good.
Damn right. No. Damn right.
3-18 is what Eberflus's record is sitting at right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Worse than Bears. Eberflus. It's worse than Trestman. That's why I said it's worse than Trestman, bro.
18, bro.
It's worse than Trestman era. You'd have never told me, especially after this offseason. They signed all these dudes, draft all these. I was like, I ain't gonna be great. They ain't gonna be like, come on, bro.
Yeah, I didn't think it was gonna. I knew it wasn't playoffs, but improvement, dog. Like where's
six,
the
seven games or something? I was like, damn, Dallas is out here getting destroyed.
I'm getting thrashed,
bro. They out here come down. They like, oh, it's 4th and 7. The offense is staying on the field. Like, they got no respect for you. Bro, they'd have never done that to the 2018. They wouldn't have done that to the 2019 or the 2020 Bears. You'd have been fourth and long. You punting. Bro, I ain't about to let Khalil Mack and Nakeem Hicks tear my head off.
Right.
Because they coming. This team, they got no fear. They look at them like, yeah, we're going to get it first.
Pretty much. Yeah, we'll get it.
They playing 15 yards off the ball on 4th and 7. They run hitches.
They got to fix some things.
They run a hit, just turn around, catch the ball, first down. Break a tackle, pick up 30.
Yeah.
Touchdown. How you get them up a touchdown on 4th and 7?
Hey. Yeah, so we all in agreement that the Commanders is going to take this one on Thursday?
Yeah, I ain't watching that game live, bro.
And you know the funny thing about it is?
I don't know if they're going to take it, bro. I'm not going to commit to that.
Dan about to jinx them. I was about to say, because if we all would have said they was losing, I'd have been like, nah, that's going to be the reason why they're going to win. Watch.
I'm going to say it anyway just because I'm going to disrespect them because they just been playing like shit. Man, they got to win. I'm at that point where you got to win to get me back. You know what I mean? You know, we were like that in the Nagy era, remember? You got to win to get me back.
You can win first.
You got to win first.
Damn,
they inventing new ways to lose, man.
I'm like, how you lose that game? We scored that touchdown in the third. I'm like, this is a wrap. I'm about to go start watching Red Zone. You know?
Awesome.
Touchdown. They about to blow it. They should just kick the field goal right here. Nope, go for it. Turn them on downs.
Yeah. Well, you know what would have happened. If Bears would have kicked the field goal, then Denver just would have went down and scored a touchdown.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what would have happened. So, I mean, I'm just being honest. Like, that's what would have happened. So, whatever. That's all I got, man.
That's all I got, man.
That's it, man. Shout out to everybody that listened to us, man. We appreciate y'all, no doubt.
Appreciate it, man. It's going to be a long season, but we here, though. We here for your weekly therapy.
Yeah. Therapy. Well, you know, we ain't gonna have much to talk about next week other than this this Commanders game, but you know it's gonna be all good.
It's gonna be something happen. Yeah.
Yeah.
Chicago is a circus now. It's a circus.
Something gonna happen.
Hopefully, I'll tell you this right now. If them fuckers are fired, if they do get fired, we will do a special show. We will do a special show. They get fired, I promise you, we will do a special show. And that's a fact. Yeah. And then we'll go down. But shit, we like the Bears. We like cats on the roster right now, man. We pretty much burnt out, bro. It's like we done tuned out right now. And it's week four. We skipping shows and shit. We like, man, we don't give a fuck, bro.
It's like the off season.
Yeah, it's
they
really
do,
like
they
the
do
off season.
We try to root for these motherfuckers. Bro.
It's the
they
same old song and dance right at this point, man. Like, god damn.
It's just the same old song.
These motherfuckers.
Yo, weekend song.
They drive you to that point of deep depression, but you know it's all.
And then you just gotta stop caring. That's the other part. You're like, they just make you so mad, you just stop caring.
I don't give a fuck.
That's what they get you.
Gotta play that Pac reference from Juice. We're like, I don't give a fuck.
Like, people you be telling me that work, they be like,
you hit him with
Bears
that
suck. And I'd be like, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, straight up. Straight up. You hit him with that A.
Yeah, they do. Somebody tell me that. Say, yeah, the Bears suck. They'll lose again. Okay, they will.
You just got to keep hitting them with that pop. I don't give a fuck.
Like, don't matter at this point.
Yeah, they be like, what's up with the Bears? I'm like, I don't give a fuck. That's my response.
Straight up.
Half the fan base trolls itself.
Yes, exactly. You know? Half of them trolling on my Twitter line right now, trying to explain why Caleb Williams, a kid in college, is better than a guy in the NFL.
Man, he gonna come in.
And they talking to a wall in my mentions, bro.
Yeah, man.
Man, I don't even be responding. Unless it's y'all, I don't be paying it. Nah, bro. I'm like, Caleb Williams gonna come in and get his shit pushed in, dude. That's what's gonna happen.
Yeah.
He gonna get behind that offensive line and try to hold it on because he hold on to the ball.
He hold on to the ball too long, too.
Yeah, he be getting strip sacked, body slam, ball just fumbling down the field. They're going to be like, get rid of Caleb Williams.
They're going to knock his nail polish off. That's another reason why I don't want that fun boy on my goddamn team.
Nail polish.
Fucking fun boy painting his nails and shit. What the fuck is up with that?
Knock his lead press-ons off his fingers.
Like, come on, fun boy. With the happy faces on the nails and shit. Like, bro, what's up with you?
I don't get it.
Bro, he gonna come here and get wrecked, bro. That's what we do. They think, oh, he gonna be different. Nah, I already learned from this.
Even if he come in at the first sign of trouble, it's gonna be people on his neck, bro.
Oh, Caleb Williams suck. We should have kept Justin Fields. Look what he's doing over there.
In Atlanta. He's back there tearing it up in Atlanta.
What was the running theme this past weekend? All former Bears players, right? Oh, they're killing it. Why couldn't he? Oh, Poles is so stupid, but he couldn't do this with us. Poles couldn't see it, but he couldn't do this with us. Oh, the Bears are so stupid. They're look at Nicholas Morrow. Look at this player.
Look at Roquan Smith. Look at wide receiver. And they go, yeah, that's what they're going to do. They're going to get somebody. They're like, oh, we're going to build this system. We're going to run RPOs. We're going to run them. We're going to boot them. We're going to actually run a boot where they got somebody to block for them. You know, and then we're going to be out. Caleb Williams going to be out here getting sacked 60 times a season, dude. Getting suplexed on the freaking in the middle of Soldier Field, dude.
Ain't a total hip replacement by the age of 25.
Back there getting blasted.
Because these motherfuckers ain't blocking. Like, just think
Should've
about it, bro.
The lineman.
Just a few months ago, they wanted to run Tevin Jenkins out of town.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is what they do, man, you know? You got people that claim to be tapped in with family members and shit. Oh, I have a family member.
They draft Darnell Wright. You got people mad they should have drafted the skill position. If you draft,
you got them mad because they should have drafted Jalen Carter.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, either way, even if you know if they address the trenches, they're gonna be mad because it's not players on the outside. If you draft players on the outside, they're gonna be mad because it's nothing inside.
Yeah,
so
they,
you can't.
Yeah.
You've said it over and over and over. You cannot build the roster in 1 year, in two years, even.
That's a fact.
It takes a minute to get guys in here to weed through the guys that are good and bad, and put your roster together. I think Poles is doing a good job of what he's done. Right. The coaching situation is a whole different story. You know.
Hey.
Yeah, they're not.
Even
Puss
must go.
That ain't good. But, I mean, Eberflus is making more and more bad decisions. It started in Green Bay on the first drive of the game that the Bears had when they went for it. And it went for it on your 40-yard line. You gave the ball to Green Bay, and Green Bay immediately scored, and you set their mind at ease, and it was like off to the races again. We go.
They got to see how soft your defense was, able to pick it apart in those little weak zones, them soft zones. Jordan Love's out here, man. He ain't had that easy since he was playing sevens on sevens.
And it's just a bad decision since then. And Eberflus is the culprit. He's the guy. You gotta do something, bro.
It's all good. Well, fuck it. We'll catch y'all next week.
Yeah.
Same time, same channel, same vibe. Appreciate y'all that's listening. Continue to listen. But until then, we just don't give a fuck. Peace out.
Be out, man.